let's get on to those conspiracy theories and speculation, because with a dearth of information, you've found that people are now filling the gaps with their own conspiracy theories with new ones.
Yeah, and I mean, look, that's one thing that fascinates me about this case, right, is that Desi Freeman loved conspiracy theories. You know, he's a sovereign citizen. He was caught up in the freedom movement. He was someone that, from everybody I've spoken to, had potentially some serious mental health issues and was kind of sent further spiraling by, you know, that pretty transformational period in Victoria of the COVID-19 epidemic and the lockdowns. He was somebody that very much dabbled in conspiratorial thinking, and now he's the subject to the exact same thing. And sometimes it's people within the same movement who are coming up with, you know, really awful, you know, wide-ranging and completely and utterly out there theories about the fact that the whole thing was a false flag operation or things like that, that it was designed to distract away from other activities this particular movement were doing, such as, you know, the March for Australia protests and things like that. But then there's people that are just monitoring this case or who live up there or who kind of knew Freeman, I suppose, sort of tangentially, who kind of have developed their own speculation about what's going on. And because they happen to know the Mount Buffalo National Park, think, oh, it'd be so easy for someone to just, you know, get out of here, and then you're over the back of, you know, the mountains, and all of a sudden you can take off. He could be in Cairns by now. And so there's, as all conspiracy theories, you know, have, there's kernels of truth there, but the vast majority of them are completely baseless, really.
Even though Desi Freeman hasn't been found, there are some saying it's time for an inquest. How would that help?
The inquest process would help in the sense that it would be designed to analyse what had gone on before police executed that warrant, the sort of risk assessments they did, the information they had, what they didn't have, you know, potentially whether there was any federal authorities or intelligence agencies that were aware of Freeman and the sort of threat that he posed. And if they weren't, whether there should have been. I mean, you'll look again at William Biller, and, you know, the inquest there was able to dig into the background of the shooters and sort of analyse their belief system. I mean, you know, somewhat controversially found it wasn't a terror attack, but, you know, there was a weighing there of the evidence. And, you know, the inquest process is obviously designed to try and prevent similar deaths. And so in this case, in the Paul Punkett case, it would be, I'd imagine, quite focused on how Desi Freeman got his firearms, whether the threats he'd made against police previously were taken seriously, what was known about them, and the sort of risk assessment that was done before the operation. But it would also touch on potentially what had happened to Freeman. A coroner may make a finding about what the evidence says in relation to his fate. But look, in Victoria, the way the coronial process works is that they don't like stepping on the toes of criminal investigations and criminal prosecutions. So while there's still a possibility of Desi Freeman being hauled before a court, the coroner's unlikely to kick off that inquest process. But it's at their discretion to do so whenever they see fit.
I just want to turn finally back to the police search and what happens now. In your experience covering these sort of notorious manhunts, what do police do when there's nothing to go on?
I do have some experience doing it, but this is so unique. You know, the nature of this horrific offending, two police officers shot dead, you know, a third injured, others shot at. That in itself is so unusual, and that will mean that police are going to be very reticent to in any way give the perception that they are stepping back from this.
Is it personal for them?
I don't think anything's personal for them in a way, but we're all human, and I can't imagine, you know, being in a job like that and losing colleagues in that way and not feeling some responsibility to try and find the person who's done it. In saying that, and again, this is all the information that's been publicly revealed, there may be more that we don't know that police are keeping close, but publicly there's been no sight of this man for 3 months. Police resources aren't finite. They can't just keep having dozens of people involved in this search, you know, ongoing. And they have scaled back, but they do still have a presence in the area. at some point, you would think they are going to have to say, we've not got anywhere here. We have to file what we can about, you know, to the coroner. They may even go to the coroner and say, look, we think it's time for an inquest. We think an inquest is the right way to do it. Here's our brief. Off you go. But there's no indication at this point that they're going to completely withdraw from the area. And you know, to the contrary, the Chief Commissioner, Mike Bush, has said that they're very much committed to staying there. And he himself is travelling up there semi-regularly. I think he's been there 3 or 4 times now at least to meet with people on the ground, to get a sense of what they're doing and what they need. And I think the fact he is so engaged in this personally does go to the fact that this is not something they're going to be walking away from anytime soon.
I mean, police have poured an enormous amount of resources into this. As you say, it can't go on indefinitely. But just finally, did locals tell you that they think someone could be helping Desi Freeman? And that's possibly why police haven't found him.
They didn't say that. And it's interesting because I do think that was the prevailing view early on. Everybody who I spoke to up there has either got their own theory about it that to them is very well thought out and is the only explanation, or they're completely baffled. And there were some people I spoke to who just said, I got no idea. He could be anywhere, or he might be dead. I really don't know. And I think that's really the only truth right now is that nobody knows what's happened to Desi Freeman.
Nino, thank you so much for taking us through the latest on the search for Desi Freeman. Really appreciate your time.
No problem.
That was Justice in Courts reporter Nino Bucci. You can find more of Nino's work on theguardian.com, and we've linked his latest piece on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Alison Chan, Shadi Khan Saif, and Jessica O'Brien. Sound design and mixing by Joe Koenig. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also leave a review. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.